Jesus exclaimed, I give you praise, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the clever, you have revealed them to the childlike. Yes, Father, such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Yesterday we remember Jesus castigated the three towns in which he had worked so many of his miracles, Bethsaida, Chorazin, and Capernaum. What great sadness that they hadn't converted, even though there was a greater than Solomon, a greater than Jonah in their midst. But immediately from there, Jesus turns in prayer to the Father. There was a great consolation in the midst of that rejection. As he does in all his prayers, he turns to the Father and he begins with praise and thanksgiving. I give you praise, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because even though you have hidden these things from the sophisticated in all of these towns, who think they're too grown up to accept new wineskins and new wine, you have revealed them to the childlike. This term in Greek is those who cannot yet speak, infants, those who really can't form words but listen and trust. You've revealed them to these people who are dependent on you, who are looking to you for help. He rejoices in it. Yes, such was your gracious will. And then he describes that the way to get to know the Father is through the Son. And anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him, and the Son wishes to do that through the Holy Spirit that helps us to cry out, Abba, Father. But we see here in this passage three fundamental realities for which Jesus thanks his Father. The first is the reality of divine filiation, that we come to know the Father through Jesus. Jesus is the icon of the Father, the enfleshment of the Father's love. Jesus wishes us to know the Father, but not just as a fact, not just outside of us, but he wishes us to know the Father precisely in him. His whole mission was to reveal the Father, to help us to turn to the Father and say, Our Father, hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, to turn to him for what we need, to turn to him for forgiveness, to turn to him for protection. First thing that he reveals is how to access the Father. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the way to the Father. He announces the truth about that mystery hidden before the foundation of the world of the Father's love. And he imparts to us that very life that the Father always seeks to give and engender. Second thing Jesus reveals to us is that we're never going to be able to accept the Father unless we're truly childlike. If we're too clever, if we're too sophisticated, if we're too grown up, it won't happen. You know, I like to say with regard to sin that the essential sin is revealed by Jesus in the parable of the prodigal son, is to think we don't need the Father. Give me the inheritance that comes to me when you croak, Dad. I can't wait. I want it now. When we're young, we need help. But eventually there's a temptation to just say, no, I got it from here. I don't need you anymore. Last week we celebrated the feast of Louise Elie Martin, parents of St. Thérèse. And St. Thérèse, growing up in that home, in a relationship with her mom and her dad, learned something about childlike dependence. She called it her little way, uniting the two passages in sacred scripture, that we will not enter the kingdom unless we convert and become like little children, and Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they will inherit the kingdom. She recognizes that childlike is to be poor in spirit, to have open hands, to be in need of what the Father can give. To recognize that even our capacity for self-reliance is itself His gift, and that we should always live it in that relation. That's the second thing Jesus reveals. And as we mature in faith, as we grow, the real test in coming to full stature in Christ is that we're growing more, not less, childlike, more, not less, dependent. Third thing is really key. In order truly to come to the Father and discover who we really are, it has to be something with joy. We see today that Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and made this exclamation. Yes, Father, such was your gracious will. We're not really living our childlike dependence on the Father and gratitude for everything that the Father gives unless it's filling us with joy. We haven't yet discovered the Father and His love unless it fills us with joy. Once we grasp this deep reality of just the depth of the Father's love, that if God the Father loved us so much that He didn't even spare His own Son, but handed Him over for us all. Once we grasp that, then we're able to live with a perpetual joy, even in the midst of the lows that can come in earthly life. Because we can never lose that, no matter how many sins we commit, no matter how many screw-ups we're responsible for, the Father loves us still and He never ceases. And so even in the midst of having to crawl back for His mercy, we are able to do it with a joy that the world can't give or rob. Because His mercy is greater always than human misery. When Jesus reveals the Father in the Father's face and the Father's heart, it is something that He wants to fill us with as much joy as penetrated His sacred heart. And the truly childlike grasp this. We see in today's first reading the opposite of this. We see an example of the sophisticated, not just in the people of Judah to whom Isaiah was preaching his prophecy, but today to the impious nation of the Assyrians that was sent by the Lord to purify His people. He wanted to give them limited grounds to plunder, to carry off, to loot, to take away their property in which they were placing so much of their faith, hope, and love. But they wanted to go farther. It's in His heart to destroy, to make many nations come to their end. And we see what the essential sin of Assyria was. For He says, by my own power I have done it. By my wisdom, for I am shrewd. I have moved the boundaries of people. I have pillaged their treasures. And like a giant, see him flexing his muscle, I have pulled down the enthroned. My hand has seized like a nest the riches of nations. As one takes eggs left alone, so I took in all the earth. That's how easy it was. It was pride. It was the type of arrogance that can make one remember, or make one forget the relationship of dependency. Sometimes we can be like that. Our whole life can be first person singular. I. And ultimately, our life is supposed to be second person in relation with the Lord who has created us, loves us, sets us direction, and providentially cares for us. Today we celebrate the feast of someone who experienced this type of conversion, who fills us with such great hope. St. Camillus de Lellis came from a family, his father was a brutal, rough soldier, very successful in the art of violence. Camille grew up wanting to be like his dad, And he went in to the military and became coarser even than his father in so many ways. But eventually he got a serious leg injury that became a huge infection. He had to leave the military. He had to go to the hospital. He had to become dependent. And at the age of 25, he received the grace of a deep conversion to recognize that he is really loved by the Father, that he doesn't have to earn his earthly dad's love or his heavenly dad's love, and that God's mercy was greater. He wanted to give it back. He wanted to care for the sick just as he had been cared for. So he applied to the Capuchins. But the Capuchins didn't take him because he had a leg injury. Yet one more community that sets standards that are not ultimately of the Lord. Don't take him. Eventually, thankfully, has a good spiritual director. His name was St. Philip Neri. St. Philip Neri got him to help out the Frate Bene Fratelli, the Hospitallers of St. John of God. He had great organizational abilities through the military, and so he started to organize their care for the sick. But he was going even beyond the Hospitallers, and others were joining him in this care. So eventually, with the inspiration of St. Philip, he founded a new order, and they took a fourth vow, much like you take a fourth vow. His fourth vow was to risk his life in the care for the sick. Probably read this morning in the Office of Readings the beautiful description of his life in which he lived like a child, literally the words of sacred scripture. I was sick and you cared for me. And he would go and care for the sick with a reverence nobody had ever seen. He would actually take it so far as he'd ask the sick, as if they were truly Jesus Christ, to forgive him all the sins of his youth. When his leg injury was so bad that he couldn't walk, he would crawl on the floor. He would drag himself across the floor. And these were not being wiped down with the antiseptics of the 21st century. Drag himself along the germ-infested floor in order to be able to care for the sick. And he taught others to learn how to love Christ in this way. He was very simple, very childlike in receiving from the Lord all he was able to do. And he constantly sought to imitate the enfleshed love of Jesus in his care for others. Regardless of how old we are, the Lord wants to give us a similar conversion so that we might share Camillus' reverence that flowed from the eyes of his heart toward everyone that we meet, so that we might, like him, get to know something of the love of the Father and pass that on and do it with the type of joy with which he and all the Camillans still do to this day. The Lord never abandons his people, but in fact has sent his Son as a perpetual reminder of just how much the Father loves us. So we prepare to receive the supreme expression of that daily gift. Let us ask the Lord to help us to respond in a similar way to St. Camillus, because the world still needs us to help them to discover in our receptivity this love that makes Jesus continuously exclaim.